Support for Quality of Life comes from the James Irvine Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, and the California Healthcare Foundation, ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.
This is Quality of Life, Valley Public Radio's look at the people and the issues affecting the way we live in the San Joaquin Valley. Here is your moderator, Terry Phillips.
Well, thank you very much, Marv. And I see, by the way, that the big clock on the wall is correct. We've fallen back.
Yes, we're really on top of things.
We certainly are. I hope you enjoyed your extra hour of sleep over the weekend.
No, I did.
I certainly did myself. Well, this is Quality of Life, and let me ask you a question. Do you have a question? For the mayor of Fresno, that is. Whether or not you live in California's fifth largest city, this community faces many of the same challenges as other towns and cities in the Central Valley – crime, air quality, and unemployment, to name just a few. One year after her election, how is Mayor Ashley Swearingen handling these issues? And where does she see Fresno going in the years to come? She's agreed to be our guest to discuss the state of the city – and to respond to your questions or comments, I hope you'll participate in this opportunity to meet the mayor in a one-on-one conversation on Quality of Life. First, a quick word about next week's program. Each of us identifies him or herself in a variety of ways, by nationality, religion, family ties, and so forth. Once every 10 years, the federal government takes a snapshot of the United States. The next census will take place next year. And I was just wondering, who are you? How do you describe yourself? Well, we'll find out on the next Quality of Life. One more thing before we get on with today's topic. During our last program, we presented a two-hour special on health care insurance. And by the way, if you missed that program, it's available on the Valley Public Radio website, kvpr.org. One of our guests was an emergency room physician. He is an emergency room physician, I should say, from St. Agnes Hospital here in Fresno. Dr. Matt Hendrickson made a case for replacing the current system of private health care insurance with a single-payer plan. Well, the day after our broadcast, Dr. Hendrickson participated in a demonstration at the Glendale offices of Cigna, and he was arrested. He now joins us by telephone. Dr. Hendrickson, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me.
And so what happened?
Well, we were seven. One was a Caltech physics doctoral student. Another was one of the board of directors of the Democratic Party here in California, and several others. And we went to Cigna with one request, and that was that the private health insurance business leave healthcare. It can insure automobiles and homes, but it is adding 15 cents on every dollar to our healthcare system and perpetuating a system that denies healthcare to those that are unfortunate enough in our country to get sick.
And how did the folks at Cigna respond to your request?
They refused to meet with us. They, in fact, had called the police in advance. And so there were about 20 police officers in the lobby that would not allow us to go upstairs in the elevators to meet with them.
And so I don't imagine this was a great shock to you. This was an act of civil disobedience to sit in their offices, right?
Yeah. And there are a growing number of physicians that have agreed, either have already been arrested or are planning to be arrested in the next 2 months as this White House or Washington health reform is rolled out, because we feel it's our professional responsibility to tell the American public that the reform that is coming out of Washington will create millions of new customers for the private insurance industry, but solidify a structure of financing that can't cover all Americans and control costs.
During the program, you and several other physicians presented your perspective for making changes to the way we pay for healthcare. And I don't know if you had a chance to hear it, but following your presentation, there were some folks from the insurance company on the program, and they were trying to make the opposite case that, in fact, what they do is a more efficient, more effective way to pay for healthcare than what you were proposing.
That would be a hard argument to make, considering that we are the only country that has a for-profit private insurance industry as the fundamental financing system. and yet we are the only country that spends twice as much per person and only covers 85% of our citizens. Medicare, for example, has a 4% overhead. The private insurance industry has a 20% overhead. So 20 cents out of every dollar is going to profits, but more importantly, it's going to underwriting and marketing and sales, all these forms of spending that have nothing to do with delivering health care, but instead have everything to do with avoiding sick patients.
Dr. Hendrickson, you didn't really believe that Cigna would voluntarily leave the health insurance business, did you?
No, I didn't. You're right. But as a member of Physicians for a National Health Program, we're 17,000 physicians, we feel like we've basically tried every other option to affect fundamental reform in the system. And now as we see what's coming out, it is so disheartening, heartbreaking almost, that what is going to come out is a system that will only strengthen the hand of the private insurance industry, which is fundamentally the reason why all Americans cannot be guaranteed health care.
Well, I appreciate you coming back on the program and explaining what happened. I don't recall us having a guest on the program before who was arrested voluntarily or otherwise. I say voluntarily because you've said you sort of expected this would happen.
That's right.
But thanks very much for coming back on and explaining what happened. And I hope we get to talk again.
Thanks for inviting me, Terry.
Thanks very much. That is Dr. Matt Hendrickson. He is an emergency room physician at St. Agnes Hospital here in Fresno. And as you heard him say, he and some of his colleagues were arrested in Glendale last Wednesday, the day after they were on this program to talk about health care. And that was in an act of civil disobedience, a nonviolent protest down there in Southern California. Well, this is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips. And this morning, it is my pleasure and privilege to welcome back to our round table the former candidate for mayor and now the mayor of the city of Fresno, Ashley Swearingen. Mayor Swearingen, good morning and welcome back to Quality of Life.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
And let me ask you from the top, this is the one-year anniversary of your election.
It is. This is a great day to be here with you. I remember it was just a little over a year ago where I sat here as a candidate, and the last year has flown by.
And so let me ask you straight away, how does the mayor's office look to you from the inside? Is it the same, different, better, worse than you expected?
Well, you know, I had a pretty close working relationship with Mayor Autry and his staff as the head of the Regional Jobs Initiative and also being involved with the Governor's Partnership for the San Joaquin Valley. So I think I felt like I transitioned pretty easily. Just some observations. First of all, I think the public would be extremely proud if they knew how hard people at City Hall work every day, and not just the mayor's office and the city manager's office, but throughout the organization. It is really a very lean organization, a very efficient organization. Over the years, the city of Fresno has done a lot with a little bit of resource. If you compare our general fund to other cities our size, it is less than half the size of other cities. So it just goes to show you we have, just by forces of the economic climate in Fresno over the years, we've had to be very efficient, and that still shows, even though we've had a spike in revenues in recent years. There's a lot of pride in the work that goes on at City Hall, and it's been extremely challenging, but also a lot of fun and very rewarding.
I wasn't there, but I watched the video of your State of the City presentation. It was in May, I think.
Yes.
And you were then, as you are now, very enthusiastic about the city of Fresno. And it was, as I said to you when you and Henry T. Perea were here last year, how pleased I was that the two of you were running, because I knew that no matter who became president, that we'd have a president. Maybe it's a little early to say mayor.
Let's stick with mayor. Thank you.
whichever of you won the election, that the city would be in good hands. And more than that, that the city would be in the hands of someone who obviously clearly loves this city. And you said so in many different ways during that speech. So I'll stop gushing now, because I'm happy that you're back. But I'm also happy to have the opportunity to ask you some questions. First, I want to invite our listeners to join us, because this is really designed for your constituents to weigh in. But it's also a chance for people who live outside of Fresno to talk to you, since there are so many similarities between issues that occur here in Fresno and elsewhere in the Central Valley.
Terrific.
So the number, if you want to call to ask a question or make a comment for Ashley Swearingen here in Fresno, area 559-275 8989, or from anywhere in the Central Valley, 1-800-224-8989. 8989. You can also join us by email, and that address is talk@kvpr.org. I'm sure that many Fresnans and even non-Fresnans, maybe former Fresnans or future Fresnans, might have something to say to you. So again, the number here in the 559 area, 275-8989, or from anywhere else, 1-800-224-8989, and by email, talk@kvpr.org. Now, when you were here, you said that you had some priorities, and one of them, I guess the first one of them, was to turn around the city's troubled economy, as you put it a year ago. So how do things look a year later to you? How is our economy? How effective have you been able to work in making things better?
Well, it has been extremely difficult, as everyone knows, that, you know, across every major newspaper, every news show I watch in the mornings, it's all about the economy. And, you know, we got the very troubling update on our local revenue projections a few weeks ago, and of course had to go to the city council and talk about yet another almost $28 million budget shortfall. For the next budget year, all in the first 12 months, we've been dealing with a $55 million revenue shortfall, mostly decline in revenues and some increase in expenses like retirement costs. So my hope the first time around when we had to make major cuts was that we had taken a major hit, but that we were stabilized, and we've taken yet another hit. Having said that, I do believe once we get these cuts in place that we're going to have to make mid-year, effective January 1, I truly believe that we've stabilized, that we'll see revenues come back slowly, but I don't think we'll take a further hit. In the middle of all of this, the things that we've been doing at City Hall to make sure that we're business friendly, that we give every opportunity for businesses to succeed here in Fresno, are things like passing a small business preference ordinance, so that as the city of Fresno contracts for services or goods that we have to purchase as a normal course of doing business, to the greatest extent possible, we're purchasing those supplies and services from local companies. It has had a very positive effect. That ordinance was passed by the council in late March. In the couple of months following that ordinance, we were seeing $20 million and more a month in local contracts for services and goods. So that's been a tremendous boost. In addition to that, We have worked with our local workforce investment board. You know, a big part of the equation of job creation is making sure that people have the job training that they need to qualify for the jobs that are available. And despite the economy that we're in, we still have a situation where there's a mismatch between the people looking for work and the types of skills required on the job. We cannot educate and train people enough. If we want a vibrant economy, yes, we have to grow our local small businesses. And as important to that, we have to train people for the jobs that are available. So there still continue to be jobs available in Fresno that go unfilled. Working with the local workforce investment board to increase job training, take advantage of stimulus dollars to make sure we're putting those dollars to use for the people here in Fresno. That has given me some encouragement, some comfort. We're doing all that we can in the middle of a very, very difficult economic climate.
Mayor Ashley Swearingen, Chief Executive Officer of the City of Fresno, is our guest this hour. If you want to join us with a question or comment for her, whether or not you live in Fresno, the number here in the 559 area, 275-8989, or toll-free from anywhere, 1-800-224-8989. You can also send us an email message, and that address is talk@kvpr.org. You mentioned jobs, and I guess one of the most painful things any chief executive has to do is fire or lay people off, and you've had to do that already, and you're facing another round of layoffs. How does that affect the city's efficiency? I understand how it affects the bottom line, but with fewer people on the payroll, how can Fresno serve its citizens as well as without those people?
You know, I think the budget cuts that were made for the current fiscal year that we're in right now, I think a lot of the cuts that were made were sloughing off programs that were added during years of plenty. And I didn't have the sense that we were starting to impact core services. I think this time around, the budget plan that we'll present to the council on November 19th, we'll have to very carefully articulate here will be the impacts to core services, because I don't think we get through the next $28 million in cuts without compromising some of the services that we've provided in the past. And since there's no way around that, it's just a matter of being really strategic and knowing what's most important to the people that we serve every day. Let's cover those services. And then we have to start making choices. Do we send a fire truck out, for example, when somebody breaks an arm, when we know that American Ambulance is dispatched just when Fresno Fire is as well? Perhaps we don't go out on concussions and broken arms. We simply go out on life-threatening situations, or in situations where we know our fire crew can get there before an ambulance. So we're the only game in town when it comes to structure fires and protecting people from fire, but we're not the only game in town when it comes to some medical calls. So we'll have some very difficult choices to make. I can assure people, though, that that as much analysis and thought as possible is going into these decisions. We'll present the plan on November 19th. The council will deliberate. There'll be many opportunities for public input, and then ultimately those decisions will go into place January 1st.
And speaking of public safety, that was another priority for you, to improve public safety here in Fresno. Have there been measurable or palpable improvements in the less than 1 year, because you really haven't been in office more than 11 months? You started in January. Have there been changes that you can identify, improvements in public safety?
No, I think the biggest change has been a focus on patrol, putting more people, more sworn officers on patrol than in the past. So so making sure that law enforcement services are being pushed out to the constituent level, making sure that our sworn officers, as many as possible, are out in the field, connecting with people, going back to a bit of a community-oriented policing type of approach. And frankly, that was the recommendation from the police chief. And as we had to make budget cuts about 3 months ago, part of the strategy was, okay, let's take, you know, in some cases, we've got sworn officers doing work that's not out in the field. So let's get everyone out in the field, actually increase our presence despite budget cuts. I think that's been a good move. Everyone knows that when the economy goes down, crime goes up. We haven't seen too much of that. So I think we've been very effective in preventing and just increasing the presence of law enforcement on the streets of Fresno.
I remember reading that you were going to take some ride-alongs with police officers here in Fresno. Have you had a chance to do that yet?
I have, yeah. Incredible experience, and something that I plan to do on a regular basis. It's very different just being out at night. I'm honestly just driving the streets that I would drive around normally during the day, just seeing things at night, it's a very different look and feel, and listening in on all the calls that are coming in for service, emergency calls, crimes in progress, those kinds of things. I honestly very, very proud to be with the Fresno Police Department and just see the way in which our team works in a very professional manner. Lost a lot of sleep that night. Stayed out till about 2 a.m. But really, really enjoyed watching our officers as they work, and am just very confident in their commitment to serve the people of Fresno.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips, talking this hour with Fresno Mayor Ashley Swearingen on the one-year anniversary of her election. If you have a question or comment for her, whether you live in Fresno or not, please call the number here in the 559 area, 275-8989, or from anywhere, toll-free, 1-800-224-8989. You can also send a message by email. That address is talk@kvpr.org. We're going to take a very quick break to give you a chance to call, and we'll get back to more of the program in just a minute. First, here's a little clip from a television series you might have seen some years ago called, appropriately enough, Fresno.
Tonight, from the raisin capital of the world, the epic story of two feuding Fresno families begins. Tyler Kane and Charlotte Kensington, locked in a desperate battle for control of an empire.
Without the Kensingtons, Fresno would be nothing.
Kane Kensington, his half-baked schemes could destroy a dynasty. But his wife, Talon, has other plans.
But I can't stand by a man who can't stand by his own brother. I can't stand it.
And Torch, if he had one, he'd give you the shirt off his back. Carol Burnett, Dabney Coleman, Charles Grodin, Terry Garr, and Gregory Harrison are all in Fresno next.
Well, there's a little something to stimulate your memory, I guess. It was a while ago, and it didn't last long.
What is so funny is I moved to Fresno directly from Colorado Springs, having been raised in the Midwest. And I'm not kidding you. I remember like the night before the moving van was coming to our house to pack us up and take us to Fresno, that movie was on. And I remember my bedroom being entirely packed up. We left the TV on the floor, plugged in. And I remember thinking, oh, I got to watch the show because that's where I'm moving to. And I'm watching it and I'm missing all the humor because so much of it was sort of inside, you know, jokes and stuff. And I just remember being kind of confused, frankly, like, what is this place I'm moving to? But I got to go back and watch it now.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. We're talking with Ashley Swearingen, mayor of the city of Fresno. If you have a question or comment for her, our number here in the 559 area, 275-8989, or from anywhere, 1-800-224-8989, or by email, talk@kvpr.org. Contact us whether you live in Fresno or not. And our first call is from someone not from Fresno. This is Shelley from Coalinga. Shelley, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life.
Hello. I have a comment that I would like the mayor to respond to.
Okay.
In Coalinga, we have metered water, and as do many of the small communities in the San Joaquin Valley do. And yet the largest water user is Fresno, and as of date have failed to pass a metered water referendum. And the concern I have is that as I watch farmers unable to plant their crops and I can't water my front yard, I go into Fresno and they are using water right and left, and we're all sharing the same aquifer. So I would like the mayor to respond to that.
Okay, Shelley.
And I'll take a comment off the air.
Great question. Thank you very much for that call. I know that you are very concerned, as we all are living here in the Central Valley, about water. But why doesn't Fresno meter water use everywhere in the city?
Well, you probably know that we are now under an order and a mandate to implement water meters. So in the past, and honestly, Shelley, I wish I could explain it, but I can't. For whatever reason, there had been a tremendous backlash, a political backlash over the years in Fresno to installing water meters. In fact, it was even in our charter that we could not install water meters in Fresno. That changed when the state legislature passed a law that required our city to implement water meters. So beginning in January and carrying through till I believe 2013 is the time period that it's going to take for us to install water meters in our homes across the city. But we are undertaking a major initiative to implement those water meters. People in the Fresno area will be hearing lots and lots of information from our utilities department in the coming weeks and months about what that's going to mean with their metered rate versus the flat rate for water they have been paying. So it may be we all wish that it could have happened sooner, but it didn't. And so we just have to go from here knowing that those water meters are coming. And I believe it will have a major impact on people's awareness of water conservation. I want to add, though, Fresno, the city of Fresno, because we're the largest metropolitan area in the valley, it's been extremely important that our voice has been added to the debate in Sacramento to provide for water quality, supply, reliability, and the water infrastructure that not just the valley but the entire state needs. That's an issue I've been extremely active with and working with the other large cities in California. Interestingly enough, major cities have not weighed in on the need for the state to build more water infrastructure. It has been an issue that environmentalists have been very engaged in, agricultural interests, some general business, but big cities really haven't been. That all started to change with Mayor Autry. I've certainly carried that forward. We now have 6 of the 10 largest cities in California all signing on in support of a comprehensive water package, including $3 billion for water storage that would serve agricultural water interests needs. So I think at this point we're doing all that we can. We also have a major initiative you'll be hearing more about called Sustainable Fresno that is largely about energy and water conservation. And we really believe that the city of Fresno can become a leading example in the country for water and energy conservation. We have to, I mean, given our environmental climate here. So those are some of the things we're working on at City Hall.
And speaking of water, the McClatchy News Service is reporting that there's an expectation in Sacramento that the legislature will pass some kind of water reform bill regarding the Delta today. So that could also, of course, affect what water is available for agriculture here in Fresno.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, we were hearing reports yesterday that the wheels were falling off of the wagon. Hopefully, McClatchy is reporting it. I'm hoping that those wheels are getting put back on. But there were some changes that were made in the water policy bills. And as of late in the day yesterday, honestly, I wasn't sure which way it's going to go. So we'll stay close to that issue today in the coming days.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. I'm Terry Phillips talking this hour with the mayor of Fresno. Ashley Swearingen was elected 1 year ago on the first Tuesday of November of last year, and she's back with us to answer your questions or comments if you'd like to speak with her. Whether you live in Fresno or not, this is a great time to call. The number here in Fresno area, 559-275-8989, or from anywhere, toll free, 1-800-224-8989, or by email, talk@kvpr.org. How does city government affect your life? Are you getting the services that you want from your city? Does Fresno, whether you live here or not, does the city of Fresno have importance to you in your daily life, maybe in your business life? Or are you able to do the things you want to do? Would you like more services? Are they spending too much money or not enough money on your behalf? Give us a call and weigh in on these issues. The mayor's here to respond to you. 559-275-8989 or 1-800-224-8989. Mayor, one of the things that you mentioned when you were running was a concern about honesty in City Hall. How does it look now that you are in the mayor's office? Is City Hall as honest a place, or did it need an improvement in its honesty?
You know, I certainly think it's an honest place, but I don't think there's been enough communication and enough transparency. And I think part of that is because we are an efficient operation. We don't have a lot of staff to do the difficult work of communicating to the public and reaching out and making sure people know what's going on and before decisions are made. We have certainly started to correct that. It's honestly one of the most enjoyable parts of the job, is just getting people to engage back in their local government. So upon my inauguration, we launched a community advisory panel made up of about 40 people from all walks of life. Some are advocates for various issues. Others are just residents who care a lot about their city. We come together every month, do a roundtable. I inform them on what's going on. They inform me on what they see going on in their circles of influence. We've also added a terrific program. Actually stole it from Clovis. It's called the Citizens Academy. And we run this program about three times, maybe four times a year. And it's an 8-week course that meets once a week in the evenings. It's free to people who want to come through. And it literally just brings the 40 people we take per class into City Hall, gives them an up-close look at all the different departments. They get to meet with department heads, ask questions, things like, I always wondered why things are done this way or not that way. And they get to experience for themselves what the answers are to those questions. And that's been terrific. We've got hundreds and hundreds of people that have signed up to go through the program. We can only get 40 through at a time. So we're doing as best we can with that. Also, we're doing a series of town halls across the community and also by telephone. So we did the first ever citywide conference call. We like to joke about it back in July. And we had, 10,000 people on the line at any one time.
Wow.
We couldn't take obviously everybody's calls. We had 25 live questions that night. We had about another 50 people who left messages who wanted to know, why is the bush at, Bullard and 41 not trimmed? I can't see the stop sign, all the way to big pictures.
And you get to solve these problems.
And it is a pleasure and a delight to have our organization respond to those questions, because that is why we exist. So in-person town halls have been fun. We're doing another one Monday night in District 6, which is northeast Fresno. And honestly, everywhere we go, it's like turning the lights on and people just getting reengaged back in their local government. I think during a time when there's not a lot of trust and confidence in state and federal government, at least you can show up and engage and help make a difference in your community.
And this upcoming town hall on November 9th will be at the Woodward Park Library, which is in northwest Fresno, and it's from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Correct.
You also have something, and I don't know if this is original with you or if you also borrow this from somebody else, but it sounds really cool. You have an open door day every month.
Yes, that's right. And Mayor Autry started that, and I'm not sure who he borrowed it from. So if it's a good idea, I'm sure we poached it from someone. But once a month, we set aside a half a day and just allow any – it literally is a first-come, first-serve type of appointment basis. People can come in and talk about any particular issue or question or concern. We've gotten some terrific ideas from residents throughout the Fresno area as a result of the Mayor's Open Door Day, and they're always just – a lot of fun.
Well, let's hear from another one of your residents. This is Robert in Fresno. Robert, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life. Hello, Robert.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say congratulations on your 1 year, and I think you're doing a great job. And I've lived in Fresno for 10 years, and in the last year, I've actually noticed a bit of a difference. And I think you're doing a great job, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate hearing from you, and it means a lot to me. We are working every single day to try to make sure we see those visible differences. And you know, a lot of the challenges we're dealing with are enormous, and there are things that we're working on now so that we can reap the benefit 10 years from now. But it's great to hear that that at least somebody is noticing a difference in the immediate term. So,
Robert, thanks
that.
For the call.
Bye.
We have Lynn with us, also from Fresno, with a question about sister cities. Lynn, good morning, and welcome to Quality of Life.
Actually, no, I don't know too much about the sister city program. But
oh, I'm sorry, I misread my note here. I'm
okay,
trying to multitask. You go right ahead, Lynn.
I'm just a fan. I'm so pleased that I voted for you, Ashley, and I love it that everything is much more transparent. I've lived here for 35 years, and so much of the time, the mayor's office seemed to be highly secretive and, you know, corrupt and all this sort of thing. Whether it was or not, that was the impression, and it definitely is no longer the impression. And I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Lynn.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Speaking of sister cities, I have another note here to ask you about them because they've been around a long time. Do they serve any useful purpose?
You know, it's a good question. We welcomed, of course, a huge delegation from Kochi, Japan on Friday of last week and over the weekend, and had a delightful time meeting with the mayor of Kochi and council members. You know, the reality is, given the challenges we face in Fresno, I don't plan to travel, you know, internationally anytime as a part of this job because the work that I have to do is right here in Fresno. However, several of our council members, terrific leaders in our community, have are front line and helping to facilitate these relationships. I think the best benefit is some of the student exchanges that we have as a result, and getting some of our high school and college students to go abroad, and then also welcoming people from other countries to Fresno, so that you know our youth can experience different cultures. That's probably one of the biggest benefits. You know, aside from that, I mean, the cost is minimal. When elected officials do travel to these other places, they have to do it at their own expense. So it's not coming out of the general fund in any way, shape or form. So I think it's probably a good thing to continue. But like I said, my attention is here at home, and I just can't justify doing anything other than that.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. We are talking this hour with the mayor of Fresno. If you want to call with a question or comment, this would be a good time to get in. The number here in the 559 area, 275-8989, or toll-free from anywhere, 1-800-224-8989. You can also send us email. That address is talk@kvpr.org. We'll get back to your questions and comments in just a moment, and we will also find out what the mayor was referring to in her State of the City address months ago when she talked about vert ramps. I had never heard of them before. Maybe you have, and we'll find out what they are. But first, this is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. We'll be back. You're listening to a rebroadcast of Quality of Life. When you hear telephone numbers, please don't call.
Support for Quality of Life comes from the Fresno Regional Foundation and the Fresno Arts Council.
Maybe it's old, maybe I'm low, maybe it's down and dirty. Sometimes I wanna go away from this town. Maybe I think I've had it up to here.
Just see your friendly face.
That's from a music video. The voice of Jen Beast, I think, is that how she pronounces her name? I believe it is. And the song is called Fresno.
That on my iPod.
And I think she was, that. I believe that video was promoting, among other things, the vert ramps. What in the world is a vert ramp? Let me, before I ask you to answer that question, because I've since found out what they are, let's turn to the back to the phones. We'll take another call and find out if our listeners know what vert ramps are. This is Susan in Madera. Susan, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life.
I have no idea
what a vert ramp is. Well, that's okay. It's your dime. What's on your mind, Susan?
I have a question, and I'll take the answer off the air.
Okay.
I'm wondering if the mayor believes in the separation of church and state, and if she does or does not, how that belief manifests itself in her role as mayor.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. When you were here campaigning, we did talk about the idea of faith-based organizations. And as I recall, you said that you wanted to bring everybody to the table to make sure that things got done. But this question has been kind of lurking during the campaign and continues to percolate not only in Fresno but in general. And I don't know how you'd like to answer her question, but it's up to you.
Well, I think as far as working with faith-based organizations, I believe my response a year ago was you have to make decisions based on merit. And if the city, for example, has $100,000 that they want to contract with a community-based organization to accomplish a certain purpose. Now, let me back up and say, gone are the days when we have $100,000 to contract with an outside organization to deliver any community-based program. But assuming that we will one day have that again, it's really about merit and it's about talent and who can deliver the best outcomes. I think in the past, not just in Fresno, in fact, not in Fresno at all, but across the country, as some faith-based initiatives were rolled out, I think folks felt like people were getting money that they didn't deserve, that they couldn't really deliver on programs and services. And, you know, I certainly don't support anything like that. It's about, you know, if we have money to spend and we need to accomplish a certain purpose, we need to work with the organization that can deliver the best results, that has a track record, that has the infrastructure to provide all of the accountability and the transparency that we need. So, I work with, in fact, on my community advisory panel, we've got folks from many different organizations. Some of them are faith-based and various religions. And in fact, I don't know that Susan would recall this, but we had an inauguration event just the night before my inauguration back in January that was paid for by private funds. And we brought clergy and leaders from, I think, almost every religion that is active in the Fresno area. And each was invited to offer a prayer. And it was really exhilarating. It was terrific. And I think what is important in Fresno is that we honor and we respect and we love people, regardless of what, you know, particular religious affiliation they may have. So, you know, that's my mindset at all times. And, I think we've got a core purpose in Fresno at City Hall, and that's to deliver municipal services in a quality, efficient manner to do right by the people of Fresno. Am I motivated by faith? Absolutely. You know, I believe that that's what God calls me to do. But do I expect people to adopt a certain religion in order to receive those quality services? Of course not. I mean, that's clearly a separation. And this is about honoring and respecting all people.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. We are talking with the mayor of Fresno, Ashley Swearingen. If you want to get in before the end of this hour, this would be a perfect time to call, area 559-275-8989 or toll-free 1-800-224-8989. Whether you live in Fresno or not, this city has an effect on the whole Central Valley, and here's a great chance to talk to the city's chief executive. Even though I was born here, I now live in Bakersfield, and since I don't live here, I tried to do a little research to see what other people considered to be important issues. And so if our callers don't want to overwhelm us with their questions and comments, I've got a few more. I don't usually list questions here. But one of the things that that others wanted me to ask you about was public transit. I know this is still of great concern to a lot of Fresnans. Where are things in the development of public transportation in Fresno?
Well, it is an extremely difficult time right now because you probably know the state took transit dollars from local agencies. And of course, that was fought in court, and the courts upheld giving those dollars back to the local agencies. But, you know, the public transit is public. It is publicly subsidized to the tune of, you know, my math may be a little bit off, but about 70% to 80%. So when the public dollars start to dry up, clearly it impacts your ability to deliver public transit. So we're doing everything we can to hang on to our existing service. In the middle of that, sort of in the middle of the crisis, we're also looking to the longer term, and that is bus rapid transit. We're beginning the studies and sort of the environmental work now that has to be done in order to implement bus rapid transit along our major corridors, being Kings Canyon, the Blackstone Corridor, all the way up to River Park.
You're talking about express buses.
Yeah, bus rapid transit is a different service, a different product than what you get right now. It's it can deliver sort of comparable to car drive time, so you're not making as many stops.
Right.
You know, it's just a much more rapid experience and process, and makes it more marketable as a result. So that's going to be, to me, that really is critical to lay the foundation for any type of light rail that we might experience in Fresno much further down the road. Now, the big issue, though, in Fresno is our urban form and densities. And as anyone who has studied this issue will tell you, the city of Fresno does not have the densities to support effective, efficient mass transit. We can change that, and we're beginning that process now so that 20 years from now, you know, between 20 and 50 years from now, the city is truly an urban center in the middle of an incredible agricultural region with higher densities along targeted corridors that can support the type of effective mass transit that we might enjoy when we go to other large cities in our country.
And it seems to me that in so many ways, in no small part because of the city's size, Fresno can serve as a model for other communities.
You know, that's honestly, and I of course, if you're listening from Bakersfield or Merced or Visalia, you're probably thinking, you know, we don't see Fresno that way. We don't tend to look up to and respect Fresno. But we've got a lot of work to do to demonstrate that we can adopt smart growth, that we can change the urban form of what has been a suburban, a sprawling suburban area. We haven't clearly sprawled as much as some of our other counterpart cities across the country. But we have the opportunity to do things right in Fresno. If we do, if we're effective in that, we would love to share it with other communities throughout the San Joaquin Valley, because we know we're all connected. We're one – well, actually, we're two major watersheds. We're one one air shed, and we're a couple of labor market sheds. And, you know, all right in the middle of one geographic area, we care a lot about the other parts of the valley. And we hope to – we hope to be a model. We also hope to learn from our counterpart cities in the valley.
Let's talk to another one of your constituents. This is Laura in Fresno. Laura, good morning, and welcome to Quality of Life.
Thank you. My question is about Saroyan and the management of the community concert hall down there. And the Fresno Philharmonic has been one of the primary tenants at the Saroyan. And a contract was given to a national firm called SMG to provide the management of Saroyan as our concert hall. And initially, they raised the cost to the Philharmonic by 200%, and there are now talks about it being raised again. And it's really making it very difficult for the Fresno Philharmonic to stay at Saroyan, logistically speaking, as well as financially. We are a nonprofit, yet we're being charged the same as all the for-profit organizations that also use Saroyan. What do you plan to do to help the Fresno Philharmonic?
Laura, great question. Thank you very much, and I'll ask you to listen to the mayor's answer on the radio.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Laura. You know, I was at the season opener of the concert season, and it was incredible, absolutely incredible. And the Fresno Philharmonic is an asset and a jewel for Fresno and the San Joaquin Valley, and we do need to do everything we can to support the Philharmonic. There's no doubt in my mind. I need to – I honestly don't know off the top of my head what's going on with the current contract negotiations, but I'm happy to go back to the office and find out. And if you'd like to call our office at 621-8000, perhaps later in the day, or at least leave me your phone number so I can get back to you. I have to say, generally speaking, just so you realize the dynamics, for a long time, the city of Fresno, the general fund, has subsidized the operation of the convention center, the Saroyan, and the facilities that we have. And over the years, you have to make strategic decisions. Can the public continue to supplement and subsidize the cost of these operations? Having not been in office at the time the decision was made, but watching from the sidelines all the debate that went on with bringing in an outside contractor to run those facilities, whether it was SMG or the other vendor that was bidding at the time, it was a ferocious debate. I think looking through the lens of efficiency and trying to bring a private sector model to some of the public services we offer, I think it was the right decision to bring in an outside contractor. Having said that, there are bumps along the way. There are local organizations that get impacted that none of us want to see impacted. So we can certainly go back and look at what's going on with the Fresno Philharmonic and talk to SMG and see if there's some way to provide support to the organization. I know all cultural arts organizations in Fresno right now, well, frankly, across the country, are struggling. It is an extremely difficult time. I heard some encouraging news, in fact, just last week about the Philharmonic actually doing better than most and doing a good job of diversifying its audience. And even though they're still struggling, actually are starting to blaze a trail for other nonprofits to follow in terms of diversifying their funding streams and drawing new audiences in, that kind of thing. So I'm encouraged by that, but we can certainly find out what's going on with this SMG contract.
As I was doing my research in preparation for this program, I found bits and pieces of information all over the internet. Is there a website are there plans to create a website that sort of provides a central clearinghouse for this kind of information?
Well, a couple things. First of all, there has been a dream and a vision from the Fresno Cultural Arts, the Fresno Coalition for Art, Science, and History, FCASH, to create a centralized web-based calendar system for all cultural arts activities in probably about a 4-county area, sort of the major Fresno market.
Wow.
And in fact, they brought one of the nation's leaders in establishing those types of systems down from, I think, San Jose for their annual conference back in October. The city of Fresno has committed to working with the cultural arts community to help find the funding for that, along with other private sources of funding. And if you look at like Artsopolis or showup.com, some of those awesome websites that promote cultural arts for major metropolitan areas. That's the vision that we've got for the Fresno area. So that, hopefully, vision will become a reality in the next year. Having said that, you know, what's a good source for general municipal services information? The city website is fresno.gov. We also have a call center, 621-CITY, C-I-T-Y. And if folks don't have the answers to questions immediately, they can certainly track them down and respond back to people.
This is Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. We've got a few minutes left with the mayor. And if you want to weigh in with a question or comment, this would still be a good time to do that. Area 559-275-8989 or 1-800-224-8989 or by email to talk@kvpr.org. You mentioned your predecessor a few times. Has Alan Autry or has any other mayor offered you advice or counsel in this first year of your service?
You know, I've had a lot of support from Mayor Autry. He is always available. He's not the type to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, you know, this needs to happen. That's not his personality, but I know he's there. In fact, I just saw him last week and reminded me that I'd love to get together with him now that I'm a year in and just compare notes and talk about some things. But he's been terrific. Mayor Patterson has also offered the same. And I certainly feel a tremendous amount of support from them. I have met Karen Humphrey. I don't know her as well, but she's offered support and to provide assistance. And then Dan Whitehurst is a good friend of mine. So he doesn't live in the area anymore, but he's always available. So that's kind of my roots with Fresno Mayors goes back about four deep. But sometimes you're just going so quick and on the fly that you're figuring out as you go. And so I don't always think to stop and pick up the phone and call, but I know they're available if I need them.
Let's try to squeeze in a few more listener calls. This is Paul in Fresno. Paul, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
We're all doing well.
Very good.
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to commend the mayor for a great first 100 days. I know it was tough taking over from the prior administration. And I guess my concern is this, you know, I know that the mayor's a Republican, and of course, like every other city in the nation, we have such a problem with our budget, and a lot of that has to do with prior decisions, and it, of course, doesn't affect this administration, but I guess my concern is with the police auditor. I know that that kind of created another layer of bureaucracy, and I was just kind of curious why that was pushed so hard, being that we're in such a financial crisis, number one. Number two, how are we going to fund that now that it has passed?
Paul, good questions. I thank you very much for the call.
Yeah,
thank you.
Excellent, Paul, and good timing.
That was a huge issue during the campaign.
Yeah,
the
it was.
Auditor. And I'm sorry, but for those who are not from Fresno, could you say a word or two about that?
You bet. The idea of a police auditor or civilian oversight in general is – well, let me back up. Civilian oversight comes in a couple of different forms. You could have a police auditor, for example. You could have a civilian review board. As a candidate for mayor, knowing that this issue is one that certainly wasn't the reason why I ran to enact a police auditor, but knowing that a lot of constituent groups want to know your position. Do you support civilian oversight or do you not? You know, are you going to enact this? Are you going to fight against it? Whatever. I had to take a close look at the issue, and I had to consider what my position was going to be on it. And knowing that Mayor Autry supported it, knowing that Chief Dyer supported it, certainly was persuasive, but I had to decide for myself. And as I considered really what a police auditor brings to the table, and I, of course, come from the private sector, it is simply a quality control mechanism. So any business has internal auditors. They have checks and balances within their company that ensure that things are being carried out properly, that they're delivering products and services of quality, that all of their financial measures are in place, all of that. But they also bring in outside auditors to audit the internal auditors. And that's when things are important to you, you bring in outside a clear set of eyes to evaluate and make sure that what's going on internally is as it should be. That's all a police auditor is. It is someone who audits the internal affairs unit of the Fresno Police Department. A police auditor, by definition, should have investigative experience. They should have law enforcement experience. They should be familiar with policing best practices. So they are a value add. A civilian review board, by contrast, is a group of community representatives who may not understand what the law is and what is appropriate policing and what is not. So I've always shied away from that, but the police auditor is a value add. So to me, given the important responsibility that our police department has, the authority that they have, it just makes good common sense that we would have that quality mechanism in place. And talking with the chief about it, we crafted a proposal that we think works for Fresno and was successful in getting it passed by the council. The budget is not big. The budget passed by the council for this office, I believe off the top of my head, was $235,000. We're cutting that back. It was a three-person office as planned. We're cutting it back by one staff person. So it actually is a very small financial expense up front. The idea, though, is that we identify problems before they become big issues. We're able to respond with appropriate policies and training so that we don't end up in lawsuits that cost the city and the people of Fresno millions and millions of dollars.
So in the end, it's really a cost
savings. A cost savings, absolutely.
Okay. Brian is standing by in Fresno. Brian, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life.
Hi, Terry. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this this program and the opportunity to come on and talk to the mayor.
Thank you. Go right ahead, please.
Hey, my question, Mayor Swanger, was about so often when we hear the concerns or the talks of public safety, it goes straight to police. And being a local firefighter, I'd like to hear the side of the fire and see here how does all these cuts, what does it look like it's going to do to the fire department? Have they made any cuts thus far? And if so, what are those cuts going to look like? Is the service model going to change, or just kind of where does the fire department stand?
Great question. Great question, David. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Well, okay, I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Brian, you're right to point out, when we talk about public safety, we're talking about police department, fire services. You could even argue that we're talking about public works and making sure that you're maintaining road safety and traffic signals are working, because a lot of our incidents happen when those things aren't in place. So it's a broad, public safety is a broad issue. In terms of Fresno Fire, yes, that department has had to make cuts like every other department. If I remember correctly off the top of my head, the budget that we rolled out this year, I want to say the departmental cuts were maybe 7-9%. Which was slightly less than some of our other general fund departments, but nonetheless, still cuts and painful for everyone. We are in the process now of getting recommendations from Fire Chief Brugman on where further cuts will need to be made to meet the budget targets. My first look at those will probably be late this week or early next week. We'll present them to the council November 19th, and obviously we'll have to explain, look, we're having to cut this amount, which means we are going to have to say no to perhaps some of these medical calls that we've gone out in the past that haven't been life-threatening in any way. There will be impacts, and we've got to spell that out clearly for the council and the public to understand, you know, this is what we're talking about in order to balance the budget. But right now, I can't go through those with you because they simply have not been processed yet, but I encourage you to pay attention to the council meeting on November 19th and the debate that follows.
I think we have time for a couple more questions. David in Fresno has a question about public art. David, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm a homeowner on Wilson Avenue, and there is currently a public debate on public art at the end of my street. I believe it kind of supports the tower and also supports my property values in the tower. But there's been talk of regulating what is public art, maybe by the city or other agencies in the area. What is your stand on regulating public art?
It's a great question, David, and also one that might merit an entire program. We've talked about the arts on Quality of Life before. But thanks for this call, and we'll see what the mayor has to say.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, David. I love public art. I love the murals that we see in downtown Fresno, and I'm convinced that they are going to be some of the, as we continue to revitalize downtown, the draws that really make Fresno unique, that some of our murals will become well-known throughout the region, throughout the state, and perhaps even the nation. So I love it. I'm excited by what's going on and sort of the rejuvenation of the cultural arts community that we've seen in recent years. In terms of regulating it, you know, I had a question from Joyce Aiken, who I think just retired as the head of the Fresno Arts Council. I was on the Bill McEwen show last week. And apparently the Arts Council spent quite a lot of time coming up with guidelines for public art. I believe those were presented to the council in the past but weren't adopted as an actual ordinance. But her request of me was, can you please go back and look at the guidelines that we developed and formalize them in some way so that we don't have the type of debate and, you know, a thing that popped up in the Tower District with the current mural. So I committed to her to do that. I don't know if that results in regulation, so to speak, or if it is being more direct and communicating to property owners and artists. Look, hey, before you go down this path, there are some things you should think about. And I think, frankly, having been involved a little bit with the recent debate, both sides, both the artists and the property owners and neighbors, honestly, when they came together and talked about it, everyone, for the most part, agrees. They love art. It's just a question of, you know, we got to respect people and honor the rights of property owners and that sort of thing. And I think we're going to see a big success there. I'm hopeful for that anyway. And I think they've got some neighborhood meetings planned, or maybe they've even happened. But we can work it through. I mean, we know that public art adds a tremendous amount to our community, and we'll find a way to support it.
Let's take one last listener call. This is Sean in Fresno. Sean, good morning and welcome to Quality of Life.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Go right ahead, please.
I have a two-part question for the mayor. The first part is, do you support legal and safe access of medical cannabis to qualified patients? And the second part is, how do you feel about the recent closure of the medical cannabis collectives that were operating legally here in town? And where do you expect them to reopen, in what part of town? And how do you expect them to do that legally?
Terrific. Sean, thanks very much for the questions.
Thank you.
Well, obviously, this is a volatile subject and one that's changing literally by the day as we see.
And for those who might not know, there was a court ruling recently that did authorize Fresno to restrict by zoning.
Correct.
Where medical marijuana could
Correct.
Be sold.
And, you know, it's a better question to defer to the city attorney's office, but I think where the attorneys are coming from is that, number one, there's a difference between the collectives and the larger distribution that has been seen in some of these distributors that have started to pop up, not just in Fresno, but I think, gosh, Los Angeles, last I heard, had like 900 of them. So, you know, this is an issue that is challenging for many communities. But our ordinance basically says we support the state and federal law, and we're going to implement that. There is a way to access medical marijuana when you have a prescription. There's a way to do that. The law provides for that. Whether or not we see any type of mass reopening of some of these facilities, I think, is yet to be seen.
Well, we are regrettably out of time. There's so much more to talk about. Maybe we'll get to do this on your second anniversary, if you're amenable.
It will fly by. If the second year goes by as quickly as the first, it'll be here before you know it.
For listeners in Fresno who want more information on how to contact the city, there's your website, fresno.gov. And the telephone number again?
621 City, CITY is our general call number, and then 621-8000 is the mayor's office. But either one will get you to the right place.
And those are both in the 559 area. Mayor Ashley Swearingen, thank you very much for being here and sharing your one-year electoral anniversary with us. And I hope to see you again soon, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Governing the city. And I'll be back with a final word in just a moment. No, that's not my kind of town. It's Fresno. Fresno, not Chicago. Well, that is our program. I want to thank again our guest, Mayor Ashley Swearingen. I thank you very much for your calls and for listening today. Next time on Quality of Life, we'll ask the musical question, who are we? How do we identify ourselves? We'll find out. Don't forget that Valley Public Radio rebroadcasts Quality of Life every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. As always, you can subscribe to the free Quality of Life podcast by visiting our website, kvpr.org. All of us here look forward to hearing what you think. Send email to talk at kvpr.org or regular mail to 3437 West Shaw Avenue, Suite 101, Fresno, California, 93711. My thanks to producer Mark Thomas, audio engineer Marv Allen, production manager Don Weaver, and executive producer Jim Myers. And until next time, I'm Terry Phillips reminding you, it's not only the quantity that counts, it's the quality of life.
Support for Quality of Life comes from the James Irvine Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, and the California Healthcare Foundation, ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.